Well, welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 12, and we're at the last verse, verse 32. Whatsoever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it.
Here again, Moses is putting his emphasis on the law of God, or we could say the Word of God, because God gave it. And it's interesting, don't add to it, don't take away from it. It's one thing to explain something, it's another thing to start embellishing what God says. And you start adding to what God said. This was the problem with the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They took the law of Moses and then they started adding on their own little regulations and their little rules to that, and just putting people into bondage with those things. And you'll see that this is what denominations do. They'll add to, they'll put their own little private interpretation to things. Moses is telling them, don't add to it, don't take away from it. And I've said this often, but I mean, it's pretty simple. But God means what He says, and God says what He means. God is an intelligent communicator. And He doesn't need somebody to say, well, He meant this or He meant that per se. God knows what He means. And when He gives us a word, then He expects us to follow the word. When He gives you a mandate, He expects you to follow that mandate. And so you don't go ask, what do you think? And what do you think? And what do you think? You ask, what does God think? And then you follow the Spirit of God, you follow the Word of God.
So as we move into chapter 13, this chapter gives us a warning to the Israelites against listening to false prophets and dreamers who tried to turn them away from following the Lord God who delivered them from Egyptian bondage. It also records the punishment for anyone who tried to entice them to follow other gods or served other gods, and the punishment on any city that served any other god than God who delivered the Israelites from Egypt. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 together. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
So, here under Old Covenant, Moses is warning them concerning false prophets. Note this, it tried to lead them away from the Lord. Okay? Even if they perform a miracle, they give you a sign, and that sign comes to pass. I mean, the devil has power, you understand.
Right.
Not authority, but power. All right? And so, the Israelites were not to yield to any false prophecy or dream that arose in any way, form, or fashion. And God said that He would use things like this to test the faithfulness of the Israelites. It's not that God is telling the person to do something contrary to God, but God is using that to see who follows God, who doesn't follow God. And their response to the temptation is going to reveal their hearts to the Lord. You understand? A thing that concerns me about this modern day age, and I'm going to preface it by saying this, I don't know anyone that believes in the supernatural things of God any more than I do. I believe in gifts of the Spirit. I believe that God does phenomenal things. But I also know that everything that appears to be phenomenal, the spectacular, is not God. And people today are following the spectacular things, the show me the sign stuff. And if someone gives a word or whatever, people are enamored with prophetic words. Well, we have the sure word of prophecy right here. And here again, I'm not against prophetic word when God inspires that prophetic word. But how many of you know the devil can inspire people in prophecy? The prophets of Baal. Now, they're not going to tell you to do the right thing. But God's going to tell you to do the right thing. And so, don't get caught up with all the hoopla of ministry. Listen for God and look for God. Is what I'm hearing something that's going to draw me closer to God? Or is it something that is going to move me away from God in the intimate relationship that I have with Him? Now, God's not going to make you follow Him. God's not going to tempt you. But God will keep the scorecard on whether you fall for the devil's temptation. That just reveals your heart. Is my heart to God or not to God? You follow me? Don't get caught up with the signs. See, this in Jesus' day, these religious people show us a sign. Now, my paraphrase, I'm not giving you a sign. No sign will be given to this. Note this. The King James Version uses the word adulteress, which simply means unfaithful. No sign is going to be given to this unfaithful generation that's not following God, except the sign of Jonah. That's the only sign you're going to get. I'm not here to work a miracle. I'm not here to impress you with signs. I do the miracles that God inspires me to do. But it's not no sign. It's not a sign to you. And we've got to get out of this type of mentality in ministry. That's not validating your ministry. Your obedience to God's what's going to validate your ministry, whether people believe it or not. That's not the issue. Obey God and don't get caught up with supernatural, because the devil can do supernatural things. You understand? Everything supernatural is not God. So you determine whether that thing that you're hearing and that sign that you're seeing agrees with the Word of God. And if it doesn't, you better run from it. Okay? Not only did it apply to the Israelites, it applies to us today. Don't get caught up with all these false dreams. I had a dream. I had a word. I've had this and I have that. You don't judge the person, but you judge the word by the word of God and by the Spirit of God. And does that word match the character of Jesus? Would Jesus say that to you? You understand? You must guard your heart. Not criticize a person, but don't you fall for any deception. Because a lot of people that are giving these things are deceived themselves. And deceived people deceive people. Know the truth. The Word is truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth. That's where you're going to find truth.
We want you to remember that concept that we just talked about. And here's a test question for you. God blanked the nation of Israel through false prophets and dreamers. God tested. Very good. Your key word is tested. God tested the nation of Israel through false prophets and dreamers.
And here again, let me emphasize, God did not move on the false prophets to falsely prophesy. You understand? But he's watching what they do with these false prophets.
And we, in part, can understand that just by the definition of the word prophecy is speaking by inspiration. Say,
who's inspiring? And you'll find that inspiration comes basically from three or four sources, all right? First, God inspired. Or the devil inspired. Or your own heart inspired you. Or you see circumstances, and then you try to match that circumstance, and so you're inspired by what you're seeing. That's not God. God speaks to your heart. We're talking about an inspiration from God. Know where the inspiration's coming from. I've had a lot of people to tell me God said. But when they start talking, I know it's not God talking. It's not that they were bad people, they were deceived people. You understand? You think about Peter, for instance. Here's a man that has a great revelation. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Oh, you're the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father revealed that to you. Now I've got to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be abused and die and raise again. What does Peter? No, far be it from you. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. What inspired that? That was the devil inspiring Peter to say that. I didn't say Peter was demon-possessed. I said the devil inspired him. He's following wrong influence. Now, here's the way the devil inspired him. That's not what Peter wanted. The flesh didn't want his good friend to be abused and killed, you understand? And so you're allowing that to inspire you to say the wrong thing. And a lot of people do that. Know where the inspiration is coming from. If you're going to give it, you test it yourself. Who's inspired me to say this? Or who's inspired me to do this? Is this something that I just want to do on my own? See, a lot of people prophesy because they think it makes them more spiritual. And in reality, it reveals how little sensitivity you have to the Spirit when you're not listening to God. So know what's inspiring you. I have thoughts that come to me that that's not God. So what do? You just let it be a fleeting thought. Turn it loose. Let it go. Don't start meditating on the thing, or you might talk yourself into saying or doing something that's not God. You follow?
Mm-hmm. Verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him.
Note this, you follow after, you pursue the Lord your God. Fear Him. In other words, have such a reverential respect for God. It's not that God is saying, be afraid of me, but respect me. Have that awesome fear of me to the point that you keep my commandments. In other words, you have such a reverential fear of God that you keep the commandments of God, you obey the voice of God, and then he uses the word cleave to Him. If you're cleaving, that's holding fast, right?
Right.
If you're cleaving to God, you're not going to be cleaving to other stuff. You're not going to be cleaving to men. You're not going to be enamored with idols and other gods and all these type things. You're not going to be enamored with the world. Cleave to God. Hold fast to God. Have such a reverential respect for God that you wouldn't think about turning away and following the crowd, so to speak.
I love that phrase, cleave to Him. I have an image in my, I guess more of a memory as a mama, when my babies were little, there would be times that I would hold Smith, and he would have such a death grip on me, around me, and my, you know, legs wrapped around you, arms wrapped around you. I wouldn't even have to put my hands on him because he'd be holding on tight. He'd be cleaving to me. And I think what a beautiful image that is. If we cleave to the Lord, we just hang on with such a tenacity that we don't let anything get in the way, anything separate the two of us. I mean, Smith would be hanging on so tight you couldn't get a sheet of paper in. Just hanging on. That's how we should be with the Lord, just hanging on.
Yeah.
Verse 5, "And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust ye out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee."
You believe God believes in capital punishment? God said the prophet, if he prophesies, he works a miracle. That he gives you a sign, and that sign comes to pass. If it takes you away from God, kill him. The guy who's had a dream, if it takes you away from God, he's telling you to follow some other God, kill him. Capital punishment, put him to death. We're not talking about murder. We're talking about justice being served, okay? Then you put him to death because he's trying to turn you away from God to get the Israelites following some other God. And he said, the reason for putting them to death is to eradicate evil out of the nation. You understand? When Israel went into the promised land, the reason for them to annihilate those seven nations was to purge the land of the evil. You're getting the evil out. And so evil has to be purged. Now, we're not advocating to go out here and kill people, so don't even go there with me, okay? But I'm telling you, to where you have courts of law and you have a murderer that you know is a murderer, there's no question about it, you don't spare his life. You rid the nation of his evil. And if you make the punishment more severe than the crime, you stop the crime. Don't you know that after you kill a prophet or two or a dreamer or two, they're going to be real cautious about prophesying and dreaming? They're going to know whether or not that's inspired of God. And they're certainly not going to try to take you away from God. You with me? So you don't follow anything that would try to take you away from God. God says, get it out of your midst. You have somebody in the church is trying to get you to turn away from the ways of God in the church. Then that eradicate it. It's evil. Yeah, but they're a good person. It's evil. The devil can dress up and look good. You can't go by outward appearance, and you can't go by your emotions. You go by the facts. Is it God or is it not God? Get all the emotion out of the way to where you make your decision by the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
And we have to be so sensitive to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I think about the wheat and tares. We looked at that, a few days ago. You know, if you look at pictures of wheat and tares, they look alike. Those tares look like wheat. And so we have to be sensitive to the spirit inside of us, that we are not deceived by our senses. Because our eyes will lie to us. Our ears, you understand, our flesh will lie to us. Our emotions will lie to us. We have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and the Word of God so that we're not deceived.
Everyone in the room has probably heard the phrase, all that glitters is gold.
Yeah.
Well, it may sound simple, but it is a profound truth. And all that's saying is, examine things. Examine things. You hear something that you're not sure about, examine it. At least be like the Bereans who searched the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. They hadn't heard that before. It's a new word. They didn't fall for the word, and they didn't reject the word. They researched what he was saying by the Scriptures to see if it's true. That's why we tell you, you check us out. This is truth. See if we are speaking in agreement with this. And you have to do that with everybody. Don't get enamored with the minister. Listen to the message. Is the message in agreement with the Scriptures? If it's not, leave it alone. Turn away from it. Okay?
Amen. Verse 6.
I said the Scriptures. I didn't say your denomination or your religion. I said the Scriptures. I didn't say your opinion. The Scriptures. I think I made my point.
Okay. I thought you were going to add, or the traditions of men. I thought that was coming.
Okay.
We'll throw that one out there too. Verse 6, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people, which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt you spare, neither shalt you conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
That's pretty hard, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If your brother, your son, your daughter, your wife, or friend tries to get you to follow another god, he said, don't yield to their suggestion, and then don't you show them any mercy. Now, I want to show you something here. When I look at this, I think of Solomon. The Scriptures tell you that his wives turned his heart from God. Now, this is a man who was under this word that Moses is given right here. And so, he should have in the very beginning. He was violating God in that he was multiplying wives to himself. But when he married one and he tried to get you to serve another god, then by the law, she was to be put to death. And his hand was to be the first on it. Sounds tough, doesn't it? A believer is not to be married to an unbeliever. He tells you that in 1 Corinthians. You understand? Now, here again, we don't kill them today. You understand? But you think about what Jesus said. He said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but I came to bring a sword to where in a house the father from the son separated, the mother, the daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law. And he says a man's enemies are those of his own household. So what's the sword that divides the house? The Word of God. So you have those in the house that choose to follow God, and those in the house who choose not to follow God. Don't you ever compromise. If they choose to leave, let them leave. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, will talk to you about that. But don't you let anyone, I don't care how close they are to you, don't you let anyone turn you away from God. That's the bottom line that we walk away with. Not go out and kill them, but the bottom line is, don't you listen to anybody that's trying to get you to turn away from God, to get you to turn your heart from God. You follow me? I mean, you be straight up. No. You asking me to choose between you and God? That's not even a choice. You're not in God's league. I choose God. And if you can't handle that, then you have a problem. And you've got to stand that ground. As hard as it may be, you have to stand that ground. Now, in this, they were to get rid of the offender.
And don't you think it's striking, and Pete alluded to this, is these people that were mentioned, we're not talking just about a casual friend here, one which is as thy own soul. We're talking best friend here. Closest friend. These are the people closest to you.
Behind closed doors.
Yes. That can try to pull you away. Now, with that said, keep that in mind. Sorry to interrupt.
You think about, I'm probably going to tread in some dangerous area here, but you think about the people, family, friends, that try to get you to turn from God, go here, go there, do this, do that, when you know that you're subjecting yourself to the world. You have to set a standard. You can't let someone else set your standard for you. And so I have said, no. I'm going to go here? No. I'm not going there. I am not going to subject myself to that environment. There's nothing good in that environment. It's an ungodly environment. Why would I want to go to an ungodly setting? Now, we'll make you popular, but you are the man's to be the leader of his house. Not the compromiser. And you set the standard. You set the standard for your kids. No, God first. God first. And there is no other God before Him. That doesn't mean previous to Him. That means you don't cohabit. You don't put another God before God. The Philistines tried that, and Dagon got his hands cut off and his feet cut off and left the stump, right? No, you don't put anything else before God.
So the standard is God. And one of the profound truths that has been taught to me is you don't raise somebody else's standard by lowering yours.
Oh, no.
You maintain your standard. You maintain, you cleave to the Lord your God.
That's why we're having so much problem in the world today, especially in America, is they lower the standard. Never lower your standard. When your standard's in agreement with the Word of God, don't lower the standard for anybody. Millionaires, billionaires, I don't care how influential they are, it's the same standard. You go by the standard of the Lord. You understand? This is not a caste thing. It's not a race thing. It's a God thing. This is the way. Walk in it. And so you don't lower your standard. I look at it this way, and I tell my kids this. Everybody's doing it. I say garbage floats downstream. It takes no effort to just go with the flow. But if you're going to get where it's clean, you're going to have to go against the current. Matter of fact, my daughter was just telling me this week there was a particular teacher. My daughter brought her name, and she said she didn't like me and she didn't like you. I confronted her because of the assignment that she gave my daughter to do a book report on a ungodly, vulgar, just perverted book. So I went to the school and I talked to her. And I called the principal and I talked to the principal. I said, I'm doing my best to bring my children up in the ways of the Lord, and I do not appreciate anybody trying to undermine and bringing this perverted garbage into to my house. You've got to set a standard. No, they won't like you, but God will. I want the one who's going to judge me for eternity to like me. This stuff's just temporary. Don't let somebody else set your standard. And don't you dare lower your standard just to please people. I heard it said a long time ago, what you compromise to keep, you'll lose. Don't compromise. Stay with the Word of God. Keep your standard in agreement with God.
But God was so serious about that. If somebody tried to pull you away, somebody tried to tempt you, you were the one, the first one, to execute this judgment that God has set in place. You had the one closest to you. You had to be the first one.
And God reminded them to get this in perspective. You don't do anything that would keep you from serving the God who delivered you from Egyptian bondage. I brought you out of bondage. Don't go back into bondage. God has brought us out of sin, and we're not to go back into sin. You don't look back. If you're going to progress, you're going to have to keep your eyes looking forward. You understand? You don't go forward looking backwards, right? So you get your eyes on God. Remember where God brought you from. I don't want to go back where I was. I'm going to tell you, God had mercy on me. Then probably the rest of you. But, you know, he could and should have wiped me out many times if you want to go by being a rascal. But he kept extended mercy, and his goodness led me to repentance and got me out of the ungodly mindset and all this. So why would I want to go back to that? No. Don't go backwards. I've never understood. Well, I understand it in a way, but just follow me. Why, how a person that has been taught the ways of God and knows the ways of God has been a faithful church member can turn around and walk away from God and just forget God and go right back in deeper than they've ever been in sin. The only way that can happen is you willingly take your eyes off God. Temptation is one thing. Rebellion is something totally different. You understand? We're out of bondage. Don't go back into bondage. whom the Son sets free is free indeed. What did He set you free from? He set you free from sin and death. Do you want to go back into death? You want to go back into the sin that leads to death? Then keep your eyes on the Lord. That's the principle that's here. I brought you out of bondage. You just remember that's who I am. Don't you be looking at any other God. Amen. We're getting close on time.
Okay, we are.
You want to try the next one?
Yes, sir.
Verse 11.
And all Israel shall hear and fear and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you.
Here's the whole purpose of executing the people that's trying to get you to go away from God. Was so everybody else would hear about it and fear would strike their heart and it would stop them from trying to do the same thing to get you to turn away from God. Don't listen to people that's trying to take you away from God. Thank you, but no thank you. Not interested. You follow me? Our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here. This thing cut out then. Okay. Father, I thank you for blessing us indeed. You enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend.